Wow. I want to thank everybody who has shared God's word. Just great, great, wonderful people. I got especially blessed last night with the teachings. Golly. And then going to the hotel. Yeah, I went there, and then there was just tons of believers rejoicing. But it reminded me of that record in the Word of God after they had rebuilt the wall or whatever it was, and they just celebrated. They ate, they danced, they probably had a glass of wine, and they cried, they laughed, they rejoiced. There's something, I don't know what it is, I don't pretend to know what it is, but when we allow ourselves to hear God's word over a period of time with other believers, there's great rejoicing. And I didn't snoop in everybody's conversation field last night, but where I was, all we talked about was the word and how the word moved and different people who inspired us and helped us. That's all we talked about, the word. Great minds talk about the word. Average minds talk about things, stuff, and junk. And bad minds talk about people. Where's our minds? Wherever our minds are, it comes out in what we say and how we act. And you are a wonderful exhibit and display of God's heart, His dream for the ages was to have people who had spirit, sons of God. And here you sit. I'm looking really forward to when I get home. I imagine every morning until I'm done, I'll go over all these teachings. Meaning I'll sit there with a cup of coffee and I'll read a couple of verses and just think about it. I'm not in a hurry to see how many scriptures I could read. And I don't read the scriptures to relieve my conscience. I read it because I enjoy my Father. I enjoy learning about Him. I enjoy learning about what He thinks about me. Because it's all good. We live in a world that's negative, and you know, it's a lot of stuff Michael just shared, but you know, it's constantly pointing its finger at us because the adversary is the great accuser. And he accuses you for being you. It's like, why are you you? And boy, if you respond by considering like Eve did, you can get yourself in quite a quandary. It's not a pleasant place to sit and think about yourself. Psalm 77 says you end up miserable. And it's not a pleasant place to look at others, because you'll end up, Psalm 73 says, you'll end up discouraged. The Colossians 3 says, look up. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand, right? And that's the best place to look. And your marriages aren't so bad like Michael painted that ugly picture. And I was thinking of that last night, too. What a blessing to be married to a believer. Golly. When my wife Joyce fell asleep, God knows me, and I couldn't last. It was a miracle I lasted at all, even like 2 days. But I had people like Jesse Lover and Clark help me, and some wonderful believers help me. But when I decided, I need somebody. And I prayed for, I'll tell you what I prayed. I prayed for somebody who was over 50, because I didn't want no young girl. I didn't want no young Mustang about ready to kill me. So I didn't want that. So number one, over 50. And number two, she had to be in the Word over 30 years. I figured there'd be some seasoning there. And number three, and almost most importantly, she had to have her teeth. And I don't know, I swear, I have that written down somewhere. Picture a nice set of teeth. I don't know. We're all so weird. But man, marriage is such a great, great thing. And you got to talk things out. Any of you that know me, I cannot sit on something that's bothering me more than, you know how it is. Worst thing you could ever do to me is look at me really seriously and go, I need to talk to you sometime, and then walk away. That's not That has not happened. I just refuse that stuff. But I sure am thankful for God's word that we've heard this weekend. I think we'll just go to a couple scriptures. It seems like every year I want to go to Isaiah 58. So I'm going to go there. Something I think about a lot is motive. You know, like, why do we do what we do? Why do I go to a fellowship? I mean, really, why? And I can tell you why I go, and I mean it. I do go. I like to go to the first Fridays that Dean does, or whoever's doing it, and I look forward all month to Joe Armstrong's leaders' meetings. This fellowship, whatever you want to call us. I don't know what, pick a word. Somebody who leads a song and teaches or something. But in preparation to those fellowships, every time, and I mean every time, I thank God that the word of God that I am going to hear is just for me. And that I need it. I need this word of God. Whatever's going to be shared, I just know it's for me. It's attitude. It's attitude. It's heart. It's what is your expectation? I would rather have 10 people here than 400. If 390 of the people didn't really care or didn't even think about it, they just came because it was the New Jersey Spring Advance, whoop-de-damn-doo. But coming so that you could hear the word, so it could help you, so that you could help others, that it could help our relationship with God, so it could bless others. That's why I do what I do. And I still don't even know what I do, really. I don't. People ask me, what's your day like? It depends on the day. What's my day like? It hasn't happened yet. But motive is so important. Why do we do what we do? And Isaiah 58 really covers that in a splendid way, because there's plenty of Christians that do things out of obligation or to fill some gap that they feel like they have to fill, or that they could do some work so that they could think that they're more righteous. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of the Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore, could be why? Why have we fasted, say they? And thou seest not. God, aren't you paying attention to my great fasting? Don't you know how much I'm doing for you? Is that our motive? God, can you pay attention over here? 25 Gray Street, please, now? What? Why am I doing this? Good question, maybe. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge? It's kind of like Asaph in Psalms, you know. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and you exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. Remember in Luke, I believe it's 18, where you got the one righteous, you know, perfect believer going to God to pray. I fast, I tithe, you know, I do this, I do that. And then the guy over, the publican, who was meek, and he got the blessing. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. People just love to fight. You know what I hate? Bible wars. Oh, my God. You know more than me? Good. Have it. Bless your heart, but I don't want to hear it. Go home. And to smite with the fist of wickedness, ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high. It was in Matthew 6, you know, they pray in the streets. They want everybody to hear how great their prayer is. You know, how many times can you get the word God at the beginning of a prayer? My most gracious, loving, incredible, living Lord and God Almighty, El Shaddai, and you name all the, you know, the... Oh, my goodness. He heard you the first time. Think about it. So not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high. And by the way, ministering healing. Show me in the Word where there's 18,000 paragraphs of Jesus Christ as he ministers healing. Just a thought. Is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wouldst thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Well, a lot of people would. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And somebody shared this weekend. To loose the bands of wickedness. Yeah. To undo the heavy burdens. Reminds me of what Michael just shared. And to let the oppressed go free. Somebody shared that verse in Acts last night. Right? About Jesus Christ. Now, well, it was a good verse. I thought about it. Maybe all by myself. I don't know. And that you break every yoke. Is not this fast to deal the bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out of thy house to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? Boy, there's that great record of the Good Samaritan, right? The guy gets the piss beat out of him. He's just left for dead, robbed, everything else. First person, you know, the first two people that walk by are believers. They go on the other side of the street. The Good Samaritan put this boy on his donkey and took him down to the place, gave the guy some money, said, take care of them, and if I owe you any more, I'll make sure I'm good for it. Well, who got the blessing? Those wonderful believers that were so righteous that probably were the perfect prayer people? No, they let the naked go. They didn't put clothes on them. They didn't help them. Are we those people that help? Even when it's not convenient? Yes, we are. And if we're not, we're going to be. I need your help. I need you. You're my family. We need each other. Nobody's replaceable. I got to have whatever it is that you have, brother. Because you have Christ in you. And you're different than me, but the same Christ. I need what you got. And you need maybe what I have. We all have Christ in us. Is it not to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When you see the naked, that thou coverest him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then indicates time. It indicates time. After a person has got this heart, and boy, we want to see this next section. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward or thy protection. Then shalt thou call on the Lord. He's going to answer. You get your prayers answered. Thou shalt cry. There's that cry again that we started out with whenever we started. And he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger. In Jersey, that has a whole nother meaning. and speaking vanity. You know what that is really talking about? I'm better than you. Our ministry is better than yours. The person that leads us is much more qualified than yours. What a bunch of horse bananas. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Philippians 2:13 says it's God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his what? It's God's good pleasure to work in you. So let him. And to satisfy thy soul and draught and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. Boy, that's a beautiful picture. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee, of God, they're going to build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I can remember and recall very vividly a time in my life that was really the saddest time of my life, when thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that I loved all seemed to divide, all seemed to break apart. And it was very, very sad. It's the saddest part of my life. Because these are wonderful people, wonderful believers. For one devilish reason or another, split. And I remember Dr. Worrell saying how it seems like all he's ever seen in his life was division. Unfortunately, I could see why he said that, because it still happens, but not with you. You're just faithful, wonderful believers. But I remember during those times, going to this chapter, reading this verse, and going to think it was Jeremiah 23 where it's something similar, but that people could get restored, people could get healed, that I wanted to be part of a solution and not of a problem. And it's just so magnificent what God has done and is doing. I think of all the different places represented here, and it makes me very, very thankful. But you see the attitude here of those people that got blessed had the attitude of heart. They had the attitude of not how good and perfect they were, but how good and great God is. And man, that should be our hearts. How good God is. Not who do you belong to? What club are you in? I could even care less about Harbor Light Fellowship, to tell you the truth. It doesn't mean anything to God. I mean, we do it because legal reasons and things like that. It's not that so we can wave a Harbor Light flag around the United States of America. There was a period of, I don't know how many years, Steve and Bob know all these things. But I don't know, from the time I got released, it wasn't the same kind of release Michael was talking about. But it was like 5 years. Bob, how many? How do you know? All right. Well, okay, 6 or 7. We'll go there. You know, that, you know, I got a job as a brick mason, carried bricks 6:30 in the morning, came home, took a little nap, which I do, and out the door and go teach the word, you know? And people would say, well, when you spoke the word, who do you belong to? And you'd just say, well, Jesus Christ, who do you belong to, you know? What are you asking me for? Well, who do you belong to? The Elks Club? You know. That was kind of nice. So I want to close in Psalm 107. I figured that'd be probably appropriate. And we'll just read it here to close out. Again, thank you all for coming. I just get so blessed knowing that there's people like you that love God and love his people. And I saw it again last night, man, just everybody fellowshipping and all happy and blessed. And I'm sure it was the same way here. We got a great family. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry, thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, and for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh them families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God wants us to understand his loving kindness. It says so in Ephesians 2, to know the love of God which passeth all understanding. We need that great understanding of God's love and of God's heart. If you got any needs, make sure you get them taken care of before you leave, if you can, if it's at all possible. If you need to get prayed for, get prayed for. If you need help, cry out. Get it. So, thanks again for coming. I sure love you. If there's anything I could ever do for you, I'd be blessed to try to do my best to do that. All these wonderful men and women are the same way. So, Father, thank you for your great heart, how you've extended it to us once again this fantastic weekend. Thank you for the privilege of life and being able to live so that we could hear your word again, so that we could believe it, so we could take it to heart to the end that we see it come to pass by accepting fully the things that you've given us so freely. Thank you for the word that we've heard, and that renders deliverance in our lives, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever which way we need. You're right there. Thank you, Father, for each and every one, for our trip home, for it to be a wonderful time of reflecting and thinking and conversing about what blessed us and how blessed we are. We sure love you, God. We got no reason not to. And thank you for your wonderful forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless you. Yeah.